This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm very excited to introduce to you from the great state of Texas, Donald Brown. Here's Donald.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Once again, I want to thank God for each of you here at BPN Radio. I want to especially thank our dear friend and our pastor and his beautiful wife, Jean Gentry. It's such an honor to be able to minister to you today here at BPN Radio. I also want to say that for those of you that would like to subscribe to our podcast here at BPN, you can contact Rick Gentry, bpnradio@gmail.com, or you can call Rick at 214-918-8707. I want to talk to you today coming out of the book of John chapter 15. I want to entitle this message today, Be Conscious of Your Position in Christ. If you have your Bible, if you turn to the book of John chapter 15 and verse 5, John says that I am the vine. In other words, Christ calls himself a vine because as the vine imparts to its branches the sap and productiveness, so Christ infuses into his followers his own divine strength and life. So as it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. In other words, you are the shoot. You are the twig. He goes on and says, he who abides remains or continues in me and I in him bears much fruit or bears much deeds or much actions or much profit or much results or much gain. And then he goes, ends it and says that, for without me, you can do nothing. So in this verse, Jesus says that I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, he didn't say I am the vine and try to be the branches. In other words, he wants us to realize that we are already the branches. We don't have to struggle to become the branches. And as his branches, we only have to abide or remain in Christ, our vine. So the question is this, how do we do that? Well, we do that by simply being conscious every day of our position in Christ. Because we have received Christ, we are in Christ, and are accepted in the beloved, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 and Ephesians 1 and 6. So, God accepts us because we are in the beloved and he is in us. And that is how God sees us today when we come into his presence. What the devil wants to do then is to get you to focus on your condition instead of your position in Christ. You see, the condition you are facing could be a financial lack or deteriorating health. But the devil wants you to focus on your condition and forget your position, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ and that you are seated with him in heavenly places at the Father's right hand, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 and Ephesians 2 and 6. You see, he wants you to forget what that you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, according to Romans 8 and 17. You see, the devil knows that once you focus on your position in Christ, it will give you the power to change your condition and your circumstances. And John 15:5 says that you will bear much fruit. So this means that when you pray against any lack, abundant supply will flow. When you pray for healing, sickness will leave. You see, my friend, none of these things can happen by your own doing, but by his life which flows through you and I. Just as sap flows through the branches of a vine, will cause them to bring forth fruit, his life flowing through you will bring forth a bountiful harvest of prosperity, healing, and miracles. You not only need to remain conscious of who you are in Christ. Sitting in a marriage counselor's office with his arms tightly folded, I remember a story about this gentleman, and he said that he didn't understand what the problem is, but his wife wanted him to come and see the counselor. And turning to look defiantly out the window, he added, "Matter of fact, there's no problem with our marriage." And his wife, seated beside him, she looked down at her knees and not sure if she should say anything. And then she plucked up her courage and said softly, "There is a problem. You have not said that you love me in the past 10 years. And the gentleman turned to his wife and glared at her and retorted with sharpness and anger and with some wittiness. And he said, "Woman, I told you I love you the day I married you." And the counselor, not wanting an argument to start, smiled at the husband and asked, "Is that true? Why don't you tell her, your wife, you love her? And she needs to hear it every now and then." So the burly man, he smiled cynically at the young, neatly dressed counselor and said, "Well, counselor, if you come to our house, you will see what a mess it's in." And his wife wants me to tell her I love her. Then she could at least clean and tidy up the house when I'm slobbing or working hard at it at the work site. So his wife, almost in tears, she sat up straight and said to the counselor, she said, "With our four boisterous kids to look after, it's really exhausting for me. And yes, the house is usually in a mess. But if I could hear from him that he loves me, even when the house is in a mess, I'll have the strength to clean things up." Now, I love how this simple illustration shows us the importance and power of knowing we are loved. And as she was honest and her heartfelt answer reveals, it can make all the difference to putting hope and joy and strength back into our hearts when we are tired, discouraged, lost, and weighed down by failures and fears. But beloved, the greatest love that you can know, that you were made to be fueled by and to live by, is God's perfect and unconditional love for you. You were created for his pleasure, for him to lavish his love on you, according to Colossians 1:16 and Luke 12:32. You see, he loves you when you are at your best and even when you are at your worst. You see, the Bible tells us nothing can separate us from his love, according to Romans 8:35, 38-39. But unfortunately, without a revelation of his love, many believers are not enjoying the abundant life that our Lord Jesus died to give us. You see, without a revelation of his love, we find ourselves struggling like this dear lady did tired out, stressed, and full of worries and fears of our health, our families, and our future. You see, we live life depleted, drained of hope, confidence, and strength. Without a revelation of His love, we don't have the power to live a fear-free, successful life. And this is why the Lord wants us to personally know and experience His immeasurable, unchangeable love for us. Whether it's being a good homemaker, excelling in school, performing well at work, or overcoming life's most daunting challenges, knowing that Jesus loves us makes all the difference. When we have a daily consciousness that we are deeply loved through Him who loved us, according to Romans 8 and 37. You see, perfect love drives out fear. According to 1 John 4 and 18, let me show you that what God's word has to say about how fear is removed from our lives. It says in 1 John 4 and 18 that perfect love casts out fear. So, according to God's word, perfect love is the antidote that drives out fear. It's the antithesis of fear. And if you're constantly fearful, it's not more courage or even more faith you need. It's perfect love. You see, I like how the Amplified Bible says it. Perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. So imagine having every trace of fear and terror driven out of your life by perfect love. What a life of liberty and endless possibilities. That's God's heart for you, my friend. By the way, contrary to what you may have been taught, the perfect love in this scripture is not your love or my love, but God's love. And only His love is perfect and always unconditional. And He wants us to know and experience this love so that any fear in our lives may be driven out. You see, the enemy's strategy is to put fear in our hearts so that we live limited, debilitated lives. But God's strategy is to put love, His perfect love, in our hearts so that we have a firm foundation and the power to live life fear-free, faith-fueled, and victorious in every situation. His word tells us that faith works through love, according to Galatians 5 and 6. And again, the love here isn't our imperfect love, but God's perfect love. You see, when you and I know how perfectly God loves us, our faith begins to work, and we'll see His Spirit move the mountains in our lives. And my friends, if you're struggling with a certain fear today, perhaps you fear losing your job, meditate on the Lord's perfect love for you. Say, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your perfect love for me that drives out all fear in my life. And because You love me perfectly and I will always provide for all my needs, there's no need for me to fear anything. And instead of focusing on the giants in your circumstances, I encourage you to keep your mind on Jesus and His unfailing love for you. You see, the Bible says you'll keep Him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You because He trusts in You, according to Isaiah 26 and 3. And you simply focus on the Lord Jesus and His love for you, the Prince of Peace Himself will keep you in perfect peace. He'll fight your battles, provide for you, and work everything out for your good. You see, it's all about His love. If you find yourself going quickly down a dark path, completely exhausted by your efforts to make things better, but when you encounter the presence and love of the Lord in a personal way, healing and deliverance, peace and joy, strength and purpose enter your life. And when we have a daily consciousness that we are deeply loved by the Lord, we can accomplish anything and overcome whatever life throws at us. Shackles of his addictions fell off, and your heart and mind and emotions are restored by God's grace and love. You see, friends, whatever your struggle or challenge, God wants to do the same for you, and it starts when you know and receive his unconditional love for you. The more you receive his love for you personally, the more you will see his grace enter your situation, turn things around for you. So you see, without God, we are nothing and can do nothing. It's purely the love and grace of Jesus that turn our life around. It's all about him and his love, not us. And when we continue to believe right about the Lord's love for you, the power to live right in God's kingdom supernaturally follow. The truth is that while we as believers saved by his grace desire to love the Lord, our focus should always be on how much the Lord loves us, not how much we love the Lord. And I want you to see how the Bible defines love. You see, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, according to 1 John 4:10. It was never and will never be about our imperfect, wavering love for the Lord. It was always and will always be about his perfect, unwavering love for us. You see, God is always the initiator. Even when you and I didn't know or care about God, he already loved us, sent his son to die on the cross to save us, according to Romans 5:8. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Love came down. This is why we observe Good Friday. Love gave of himself, self-sacrificially at the cross. That's how deeply loved we are by him. Now, when we understand the secret of the disciple whom Jesus loved, from start to finish, in whatever age we are living in, it will always be about God's love for us. And Jesus' disciple John understood this truth. Unlike his fellow disciples, Peter, who boasted in his love for the Lord, a picture of the Christian who depends on his imperfect love for the Lord, John unabashedly learned on the Lord or leaned on the Lord's love for him. You remember on the night of the Last Supper, as Peter boasted to everyone present that he would never forsake Jesus, but would follow him even to death, John was found simply leaning on Jesus' bosom, a beautiful picture of the believer depending on the Lord's perfect love for him. Later, it was John who was found at the foot of the cross, available and ready to serve the Lord. The suffering Messiah, still thinking not of himself, but of others, was able to hand over the care of his beloved earthly mother, Mary, to John. And in contrast, Peter had to eat his words. You see, we know how before the rooster crowed that morning, mere hours after his boasting of his love for the Lord, he denied knowing the Lord 3 times with cursing and swearing. And unlike Peter, John knew that it was not about his imperfect love for the Lord, but the Lord's perfect, unconditional, and self-sacrificial love for him. In fact, he even boasted in the Lord's love for him by calling himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. You see, this particular phrase appears 5 times in only the Gospel of John. People who don't know what John Newton may think he was just being arrogant. Far from it. John understood the secret to intimacy with the Lord and going the distance in ministry. He knew the secret to overcoming all of life's trying circumstances with joy, hope, and confidence. He knew how to focus and be conscious of the Lord's perfect love for him. You see, know his love personally. So, which disciple do you want to be like today, John or Peter? If you want to live life without fear and full of joy, hope, and confidence, then I encourage you to personally receive and lean on Jesus' love as John did. Don't just think, well, God loves everybody. No, believe that he knows you by name and loves you as though you are the only person on this planet. Personalize and practice his love for you. You see, hear him declare his love for you as you read his word. And when you live with the sense of being deeply loved by the Lord each day, you can't help but reign over your challenges. That's the power of living loved by the Lord. It's my prayer that you possess a personal revelation of how deeply loved you are by the Lord. You see, the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church was that they be able to comprehend what is the width and length and depth and height of the Lord Jesus' love for them, according to Ephesians 3:18-19. It's a prayer I like to pray for the church too, and it's my prayer for you today. My friend, the Lord loves you deeply. And if you are going through some sort of challenges right now, I am confident things are going to get better for you because you have one who watches over you and loves you perfectly. Just keep focusing on his love for you. Take comfort and drawing strength from the only one who knows you completely, yet loves you perfectly, loves you deeply and personally without any condemnation. And when you make his perfect love personal and are conscious of it each day, you'll experience the power of living loved. You'll enjoy robust peace that surpasses all understanding. You'll have a new boldness and confidence, fearless faith for the future, and a positive expectation and experience of his goodness. Let us pray. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You've been listening to Donald Brown today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. Sure appreciate everybody listening today. Thank you.